right. It's good to see everyone. Glad that you're here. I hope you had a good day. It's always a great blessing to be here. God has allowed us another opportunity to come before him as his people. I want to welcome any visitors we have among us. We're grateful you're here. It's an encouragement to us, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Also wanted to remind everyone to grab a calendar in the foyer with upcoming events, and it's going to be remade in the sense there's going to be some things added to it. So that's the bare minimum of everything we're doing this year. So you can look ahead and make plans to be a part of all the different events, all the different works that the church is going to be involved in. And I think the next big one is the Congregational Prayer Breakfast there in February. So make plans to be a part of that. How wonderful would it be if the entire congregation here, the Fairview family, showed up to a prayer breakfast? You know, just that'd be so great to see that, and just think of all the things that we could pray for as a congregation in that specific time of prayer. So make plans for that, and grab that, and you get the day to make plans. Now, the song that we just sang, asked Brother Tom to lead, and you see the first verse there on the screen. You know, the thing about it is, whenever things are going really well in a congregation, I've seen and I've learned by experience, right, this is where Satan doesn't like it. Right, so he's gonna use some pretty devious ways to try to break up the congregation or discourage. And let's make it our goal not to be used in that endeavor that he desires. And so I think this is an important topic, a lesson that we need to examine from time to time. And of course, we're still going through some lessons through the book of Acts, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 15 here in just a little bit. But I want you to think about this, and then we're going to read a little bit more there in James chapter 4, where we had our scripture reading. But I do like this verse. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. May his spirit divine, all my being refined, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Right? So it speaks of an attitude that we're called to have. And that's why I really appreciate that song, right? And we sing that, and hopefully we're developing that Christ-like mindset. So that's the answer. That's the goal. That's what we're aiming for. But here's the issue. What we had there in our scripture reading, James chapter 4. And you think about this, right? And you know, think about what causes quarrels among Christians in a local congregation. Right? What is it that causes the difficulty that arises between brethren? Well, God's word, book of James here, says that part of the reason is that our passions are at war within us. And so what we read here, is it still accurate some 2,000 years later? Well, I'd submit to you that it is, right? That's the way Satan operates, right? So is the cause, what James records here, you know, basically we don't have what we want, so we attack. Right? Is that really the reason that there are fights and quarrels within the body? Does it normally come down to what James said here in this passage? Basically, you know, I want what I want, and if I don't get what I want in the way that I want it, you know, believe me, you'll get it. Right? Would that be a summation here of this passage, or is it that God has an answer? Right? Is it that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble? Right? God has the answer that you, right, draw near to God and he will draw near to you in verse 8. God has the answer that you humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Right? So you want to know how that gets done here? Well, doesn't James say this here in verse 11? Do not speak evil against one another. So is that going to be the place where we go as God's people? Are we willing to go to the great lawgiver? And I encourage you to really read all 12 verses together. You know, is that where we're going to go? Go to the great lawgiver and humble ourselves, right? And find that answer when we don't get what we want in the manner that we want it. Now, what we're talking about this evening has nothing to do with doctrine. Right? So we're not talking about doctrine. You know how, I guess it's been 2 weeks ago, there, that first part of Acts chapter 15. Remember Paul was standing up against the Judaizing Christians, right? Because they're saying, well, you got to become a Jew, be circumcised, and then you can become a Christian, right? They're teaching the Gentiles that, right? And we read a little bit deeper there in Galatians chapter 2, right? And they stood up for that. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about, what we're going to see here is this conflict that arose between Paul and Barnabas, John Mark, and so we're going to see what we can learn in that. We're not talking about doctrine. We're not talking about standing up for truth. Right? So let's see, you know, humility in this, it's the toughest pill to swallow. Right? When there's a sharp disagreement, humility is the toughest pill to swallow. You know, God says through Paul in Romans 16, you know, watch out for those who cause divisions among you. Now listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined. Now, your translation might say knit together. It's that Greek word katarizo, and it's the idea of having been knit together. Right here in New King James, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Right, so you've got a congregation here, and it seems their loyalty was divided, and Paul's addressing that, right? And Paul's asking that question, is Christ divided, right? And the obvious answer to that is, you know, hey, were you baptized in the name of Paul or Apollos or Cephas? Well, no, right? And so the church at Corinth had some problems. James was addressing some problems, right? Listen, every congregation's going to have problems. But here's the key, how do we handle it? How do we handle those issues? And again, in this, we're not talking about doctrine, right? If it's a doctrinal issue, you know, that's a different thing. So we're not talking about doctrine here this evening. So let's look at our main study text here in Acts 15. Let's begin by reading verses 36 through 38. You have your Bible open, Acts 15, begin at verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Now remember, they just had this first missionary journey. Wonderful things were happening in the Lord's church, right? Congregations were being established, right? People were coming to Christ. Great and wonderful work was going on that both these men were a part of. Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So we see Paul and Barnabas here, they're having a dispute. Then in verse 39 here, you see this? Then the contention became so sharp that they departed from one another, and so Barnabas took John and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas, and he departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So, right, this disagreement was so sharp that they separated their ministry. two very godly, faithful men now separated their ministry. That's how sharp this disagreement was. So do Christian people ever disagree? Well, sure we do. Absolutely. So is the disagreement bad, or is it being disagreeable the bad thing? Now, to some extent, you know, when there's a disagreement, I would say it's not necessarily even bad, right? Because sometimes there's a disagreement, you know, where we're called to dig a little bit deeper in the Word of God. Maybe look at this event with Paul and Barnabas, you know. So disagreeing is not a bad thing.
But being disagreeable, you know, when it turns into, you know, attacks or being condescending or being sarcastic, right? That has no place in the betterment of the body, right? So disagreements, you know, aren't the issue. It's how we handle those disagreements, right? And think about, you know, Barnabas. You know, he's called the son of encouragement. And then you got Paul, who wrote a majority of the New Testament. Very faithful. Two men here, two great Christian examples, they have a sharp disagreement. Right? These two men who went through a lot together, we read. Right? They have a disagreement. So you see, it's not having the disagreement that's the problem. It's how we approach it. It's how we handle it. It's how we settle the issue. Right? It's about the attitude that we have during that process. Right? And again, you've got these folks here at the beginning of the chapter. They stood up to them, teaching false doctrine. Right? So this is different. This is different here at the end. It's not a matter of principle or doctrine that's the problem, but it's a matter of opinion over John Mark. And so when we come back and we ask, so who is wrong in this? You know, was it Paul? Was it Barnabas? Was it both of them? Did one sin? Did both sin? Did neither sin? You know, both of them took such a sharp position on the matter, and neither, it appears, were willing to back away from their positions. But I guess the question that I come back to is, as I'm looking at this, you know, when I try to deal with a problem, a dispute, a disagreement, can a person disagree without being disagreeable? You know, and is that the bigger issue here? I would say yes. Right? You know, and the thing about it is, when you're active, when you're working, when you're doing good, right? When we're busy with the Father's business, issues are going to come up. Right? And that's okay. Right? But if we have the right attitude, we're going to handle it properly. Right? Go back to how James said to handle it. Humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He'll exalt you. Right, both these men here, they're on a mission for the Father, busy with the Father's business, had a strong disagreement on how to take on this mission. So let's understand here, number one, we got two main points. Number one, we are imperfect people perfected in Christ. You know, that's one of the greatest things about the Lord's church, is we come from different backgrounds, different education, different socioeconomic backgrounds. And the thing about it is, you know, out there you might be up here, out there you may be down here, but we meet on that common ground, and that common ground is Christ. And so with so many different people, so many different backgrounds, you know, there's going to be disagreements. But if we all make it our aim to meet on that middle common ground, which is Christ, we work things out. Right? And it's the best support system in the world. Matter of fact, that's what makes us this church such a wonderful thing. It's because we all come from different backgrounds. We bring different things to the table, if you will. And so, you know, if we disagree, you know, do I have to become disagreeable in that process? Does my disagreement have to become an attack, being bitter, I get sarcastic, condescending, tearing down? You know, is that the route that I need to take? You know, James, right, what we read there, he's going to come back and say, no, no, no. Right? And again, don't mistake this for standing up for the truth. Right? You know, but even then, right, when we're standing up for the truth, remember Paul writes Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love, right? We're just as responsible for the love portion of that as the truth portion of that. And so God's will for us is to learn to love each other, to be forgiving, to be long-suffering, to be patient with one another, right? And forgive as he has forgiven us. So real quick here in Philippians chapter 4, I want you to see we got two women here, Euodia and Syntyche. And, you know, we call the book of Philippians the book of cheerfulness, right? That's a good way to describe it. Because you see joy and rejoicing throughout the entire of this short book. But what's very interesting, you come to the end of the book, and this book seems to be predicated on the fact that you got two women that were kind of butting heads, just like Paul and Barnabas. But in this book of cheerfulness, say, hey, we need to get busy with the Lord's work is really what we see in Philippians chapter 4. Right? We have so many reasons to be joyful. Right? Let's focus on that. Let's meditate on that. You know, differences are going to come. But it's how do we deal with those differences? Remember, Satan didn't want us to work it out. He wants pride. Pride destroys. Right? Great things are going on. He knows if he can just get some pride in there in a couple folks, and next thing you know, it tears it up. Now, we don't know. I know I said I was going to read Philippians here, but real quick, you know, we don't know, you know, how this played out, right? You know, what people debate in this passage is, did Paul, did Barnabas, both sin parting ways, right? The Bible doesn't give us a definitive answer in this context, but it does help us to see the rest of the story. And it's a story of ministry and reconciliation. And again, while we don't have the emotions of these two men after a parting company, we can see some of what happened. And actually, before I deal with the rest of that story, right, this event right here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life, right? Now remember who wrote these words? A man that had a sharp disagreement with another brother, right? Paul and Barnabas. And you think about it. He's urging these two women who've labored in the gospel, whose names are written in the book of life. He's urging them to agree in the Lord. Right? And so Paul wrote this, right, when he went through that disagreement with his brother, who he is laboring in the gospel with. Right? So he's not saying one of them is wrong, but the goal that Paul has for these two women was to come back together. All right, next here, how to disagree. And so the question isn't will there be disagreements, but how am I going to disagree, right? So back here in Acts 15, both Paul, Barnabas, they both believed that they were absolutely right. Right? They took a position. They weren't willing to back down. It seems that they kept pushing for their own position, and I'm sure emotions grew. And I have a quote here from one commentary wrote about this situation and said, quote, Paul looked at people to see what they could do for God's work, and Barnabas looked at people to see what God's work could do for them. Now, that may be accurate. Sounds fairly reasonable to me. But the two of them, they couldn't see each other's views, right? So maybe this commentator got it right here. The two of them just couldn't agree. But here's the question. Could both of them have been correct? I would submit to you, yes. You know, can two different people have two different philosophies on how to implement God's work and both be right?
Well, sure. Right, the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Right, the command is to make disciples, right, by baptizing and teaching. Now, the command is to make disciples. Well, someone might say, well, I think a radio station, right? Getting the gospel message out there in a radio station would be the best use of our funds to do that. And someone would say, well, I think a television. Well, someone would say, well, I think the internet, doing a podcast might be the best thing. Someone else might say, well, I think a letter campaign followed by door knocking. Well, they're all right. You know, none of those are wrong as long as we're fulfilling that command to make disciples by baptizing and teaching. Right? Doesn't matter if we take a plane, train, or automobile to get that done.
So, you know, there's always more than one way, if you will, to do something in the kingdom.
Right? Let's say I have a view on how to carry out a certain ministry, and you have a different view on to carry it out a different way. We can both be right.
Right? VBS. That's, you know, usually a wonderful test that I pay attention to, and I love it here in this congregation, right?
You know, maybe there's someone says, you know, I think an all-day Saturday VBS is the way to go. And maybe have some valid reasons. Someone else might say, well, you know, I think Monday through Wednesday, or someone might say, no, Monday through Friday we can reach more people. You know what? None of them are wrong. Right? None of them are wrong. Just different views. Maybe in our area, one might work a little bit better than the other. But either way, we're carrying out that ministry to reach children and their parents, just taking a different approach. Right? So you got two very capable men here. So that's not the issue. But it was simply how to accomplish that goal. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, if you remember from this morning, our lesson, our theme, of course, walking worthy, here was the second walking worthy passage that I did mention. Right, Colossians emphasizes Christ and control, him being the head of the church. Ephesians emphasizes the church. Right, and so Paul here in Ephesians is really helping us see where we fit into the body of Christ, the church, right? The universal church, and of course the local congregation. And so in that, we're being shown many places on how to walk worthy. And so here's a key area in chapter 4 when he's going to talk about unity. And I want you to note this. We're going to highlight three things, and just two more passages in the lesson is yours. So what do I do when I adamantly disagree with a vision or work within this congregation? Well, let's read it together, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, be saying, remember, I'm over here in prison when I tell you this. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Right, so he's talking to you. Ephesians is for Christians, right? If you're here this evening, you've been immersed into Christ, added to his church, right? This is for you. This is for the Fairview Church of Christ. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Number one, be humble and gentle, right? I need to start with this spirit. Humility calls me to be honest with myself in any disagreement, similar to what James was saying in James 4, right? You know, and I ought to look at you if we have a disagreement and look at you and what you have to say in light of God's greater work. Not just in this thing, whatever it is. Say, I want an all Saturday VBS. You said, no, Monday through Friday. See, now gentleness in that humility causes me to respond with kindness in my heart. I can disagree without being disagreeable. Number two, we learn in this text, be patient and bearing with one another in love. You know, I think too often the problem comes when we're just not patient with one another. We don't have this forbearing spirit when we're in disagreement, right?
If I bear with you, even if I believe that you're wrong on a disputable matter, listen, I can learn your heart in that, and you can learn my heart. But the first thing I have to remember is you're my brother, you're my sister, you're not my enemy. Satan wants to sneak in, throw a little bit of pride in there. Oh, okay, all right. Right, they're your enemy now. That's what he wants you to think. And that's very destructive. Then number three here, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That is my end. That is to be our end. Right? Not winning some argument. Right? Not so we can have the satisfaction of seeing something done my way. Right? Eager is something that I have to become. Right? I want this relationship to work. Right, I want to see this ministry take place, whatever that ministry might be. You know, and I want the world to see our unity of love in our faith, and so let us strive for unity. Remember those three proofs of discipleship in the book of John? Right, three things he gives us in the book of John to see if we're his disciple. Chapter 8, abide in my word. Chapter 13, love one another as I have loved you. Then, of course, chapter 15 and verse 8, bear fruit. Right? One of those is to love one another as Christ has loved us. Then he says the world's going to see that, and they will know that you're my disciples indeed. And so by way of conclusion here, 2 Corinthians, right? Our God is all about reconciliation. Our God is the God of second chances. He is the God of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 and 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And before we offer the Lord's invitation, I want you to think, you know, is there a brother or sister out there that maybe you've separated from due to a disagreement, a sharp disagreement maybe? You remember Peter's question in Matthew 18? You know, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? And he said seven. Now, the rabbis in that time and culture said you need to forgive six times. So Peter thought he's being gracious. Well, I take that back. The rabbi said three times, so he doubled it and then added one, thinking he's doubling and then some. And, of course, we know Jesus' answer. Right before he gives the parable of the unforgiving servant, he said, no, 70 times seven.
Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Jesus tells us, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift to God. You know, Paul would later call John Mark his fellow worker. His letter to Timothy, he even asked for him to bring John Mark. He says, for he was useful in my ministry. Now, the great team of Paul and Barnabas, there's no biblical account of them ever working together on a similar mission, right? They both parted ways, but they did not stop working in the ministry of the Lord. Paul would go on and speak of Barnabas in a favorable light in 1 Corinthians and Galatians. Listen, the reason for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was so that we could be reconciled back to God. Our God is about reconciliation. He extends reconciliation to all of us. Let us do the same with our brethren. This evening, if you're here and you're subject to the gospel invitation, that's open for you. That'd be a great way to end this Lord's Day. If there's someone here that needs to be immersed into Christ, that we could do that. What a wonderful way to end this day and to begin this new week. Or, if you're here and you've been separated from God, you went back to a lifestyle of sin, what a wonderful way to end this day and begin this week, to see you reconciled, to be restored once again to God to his body. If you have any spiritual need whatsoever, you just need prayers or encouragement, don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.